14:6-7. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Here ends the text. Perhaps you recognize the title of the sermon from Mordecai's meant to be motivational words to Esther in the face of Haman's pogrom of the Jews in Persia. He said to her, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Today we celebrate the beginning of the Lutheran Reformation, but we don't do so to remember the past, but for such a time and place as this. First, though, step out of time. I made that difficult for you when, after the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I kept counting each year, 501, 502, etc. German theologian Klaus Harms said at the 300th anniversary of the Reformation, "If our church were only 300 years old, we should hasten to leave it." That's true at 505 and will be at 1005. But how should we answer the sneering question of the Roman Catholics since 1600? Where was your church before Luther? How about reply as the Lutherans have been replying since 1528? It was then that the Lutherans started celebrating the Reformation, and our text from Revelation 14 was the appointed gospel, as it was, epistle reading. This was so from the 16th century all the way to 1978. It's the appointed epistle reading for TLH, but in LW and LSB, it's only for the one-year series. I have never heard a Reformation sermon based on this text. C.S. Lewis said that when we change the words of our forefathers, it's because we no longer understand what they were saying. The epistle reading was changed because we no longer understood that the Reformation is about the eternal gospel, not about a man named Martin Luther. Our forefathers saw at least the Lutheran Reformation, if not Luther himself, predicted in Revelation 14:6-7. Already in 1522 and on into the 1540s, his contemporaries identified Luther as the angel. And in doing so, they stepped out of their time and into eternity. There's a familiar, comforting Bible passage in Ecclesiastes, but like in horror movies, it turns suddenly frightening. Right after everyone's favorite song by the Birds ends in verse 8, we read in Ecclesiastes 3:11, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, so they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." To creatures born in time and moving through it, eternity is a bottomless pit. But not to the eternal God, and he in Revelation is shown sending three angels. However, before he sends one of wrath and then judgment, he sends one of gospel. So step out of 2022 AD, the 505th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, step out of time and into eternity. The angel flying in mid-heaven, between heaven and earth, is sent literally having the eternal gospel to evangelize. The gospel goes all the way back to the dawn of creation. First promised after the fall that God would send a man, but more than a man, to do what even perfect holy men could not do. Keep God's law perfectly and then crush the head of the serpent. Actually, Revelation 13:8 says the gospel is even prior to creation. It speaks of the Lamb of God being slain from the foundation of the world. Check your English translations. They try to avoid this because it just blows the minds of us creatures in time that before the first Adam became a living being, the second Adam was slain to become a life-giving spirit. As in a dream, step out of time and into eternity, and step out of this place too. Our place, the woke crowd notwithstanding, is a place divided by nation, tribe, language, and people. There are always literally dozens of wars going on around the world based on those divisions. The eternal gospel was revealed to Luther in the midst of such wars, and humanly speaking, those conflicts serve to spread, preserve, and protect the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. And he evangelizes it all over, regardless of race, language, or what they have done. Most translate to those who live on the earth, but John uses this particular word, kateketo, 15 times, and it's used for those who dwell, who settle on earth. They are those who think that their citizenship is on earth, not heaven. They are content to live in here and now without God. Yet it's over these earthbound, mudbound, dirty people that the Lord proclaims his gospel of washing, of renewing water, of wellsprings of eternal life. The gospel revealed to Luther was not that Jesus kept the law in place of all sinners and carried the sins of the world to Calvary where he paid for them. The whole church on earth knew that, and they preached it. The revelation was that God Almighty in Christ wanted sinners to be certain of their forgiveness. Luther's gospel was against what he called the monster of uncertainty, the conditional absolution. He preserved in his own writings the absolution that was pronounced in his day, which wasn't certain and therefore really wasn't absolving. I quote, "I absolve thee from thy sins through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ." Good so far. "For the sake of the contrition of thy heart, the confession of thy mouth, and the intercession of the saints." This uncertain gospel is alive and well. Whether forgiveness is tied to you quitting sinning first, asking Jesus into your heart, deciding to follow Jesus, doing the best you can, being sorry enough, or believing, that makes it conditional. Ambient sound is sound that is so constant you don't notice, but it has an effect on you. The constant noise of the devil, the world, and your own fallen self is not the gospel. It's law, it's guilt, it's self-justification. What you did is really not sinful, or you're going to do better next time. Above this, flying in mid-heaven, is a clarion call of the gospel from every faithful messenger of God, from every drop of baptismal water, from every absolution, real absolution, from every appearance of Christ's body and blood. It proclaims forgiveness free and full in Jesus' name. You want to know a frequent thing people have said to me over the years about their sins? Just tell me, I couldn't have done something so bad that God can't or won't forgive me. Well, I can say that because the gospel says it. But how much better for them if they had told me what was weighing so heavy on them to squeeze out that plea? If the Reformation is about a gospel not bound by time, but eternally true, eternally proclaimed for such a time as this, then not only do we need to step out of this time and place, but we need to step back in to his world. Remember the devil's great lie to Jesus? The world belongs to him and he can give it to whomever he wants. Well, it certainly looks like everybody who dwells on earth, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people belong to him and are arrayed against God and his Christ and therefore us Christians. From this apparent reality comes the motivation to get away from the world. Luther was offered worldly power to protect him and his gospel. Luther said his gospel would protect him and them. Luther did try hiding from the death penalty pronounced against him by Charles V. He did much good work while hiding at the Wartburg Castle, but he was also troubled by demons in his isolation, and he left when he learned the Reformation was veering towards rebellion. He then stepped back in to God's time and place. It's a lie. This is not the devil's world. The scripture does say he rules here, but not apart from God, who makes all things to work to the good of his people. Luther lived with a God who was as present as his words in his ears, as the water on his skin, as the body, bread, and wine, blood on his altar. You've all heard that story about Luther's first celebration of Holy Communion as a priest, trembling with such fear he could hardly go on. In his last year of his life, which is 37 years after, during a long communion service, his trembling hand spilled the blood of Christ from the chalice. Luther stooped down and licked it up so as not to trample and profane it. You know the line from the woman whose friend is married to a dullard but a faithful man who's over the moon in love with her, and she says, "I want to be loved like that." Don't you want to live like Luther, having a God that close, that tangible, that real? The eternal gospel for Luther was tied to his own time and place. Luther lived with the all-powerful God who was present with him in the babe that nursed on his mother's lap, who walked the hills of Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. But it started for Luther in the God who created. That has been taken from us. We think that science won't let us believe in a creator God, and so we try to live with just a redeemer God. That is ultimately living with science as God. And science is going to tell you dead is dead. The unseen is unreal, and this life, well, that's it. Kids who entered college as Christians but left as unbelievers were asked what made them lose their faith. The majority said evolution. You reject the God of creation and you lose the God of recreation. Irenaeus said something like that. He said, if you don't believe God created grains and wine, you can't believe he can use them to give you his body and blood. God's realm isn't only that of the spiritual, the invisible, heaven, but of the material, the visible, earth. Luther feared and worshiped him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. This is Jesus, whom John tells us that one single thing was made without him. Luther believed that Almighty God made him and all creatures and gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses. He was never at the mercy of the laws of nature, but of the God of nature who redeemed him, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. But he didn't leave me at the mercy of my unbelieving heart, but he called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Though G.K. Chesterton would say Luther was a heretic, Luther fails Chesterton's own test of heresy. Chesterton said, every heresy has been an effort to narrow the church. Luther declared the boundaries of the church were as broad as Holy Scripture and not bound to a time and place at all, but to a person. Certainly not him, but Jesus. And he is here today in word and sacraments, flesh and blood, for such a time and place as this. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing.